Greetings again, pilgrims. Guess who? It's Pastor Bob, coming to you from the parsonage in the heart of Arthur, Illinois, in the snow-covered village, surrounded by the Amish. Wow, we're like right in the center of the heartbeat of God. Can you imagine being there, right in the center of the heartbeat of God? Well, that's where we can be right now. It's just up to us. So let's make that happen. Hey, this is February 11th. It's our 32nd installment of our New Year launching pad, which is quickly coming to an end. This Saturday will be our last installment of our New Year launching pad. We'll have a couple days of preparation for Lent, and on Wednesday, February 17th, we will have a Wednesday evening Ash Wednesday service in addition to a Wednesday morning devotion. So I'm going ahead and putting that out there that next Wednesday evening at 7, we'll have a Zoom service for Ash Wednesday. If you were part of the Christmas Eve service and then participated in the Silent Night experience afterwards on Zoom, I expect it'll be something like that, at least delivered that way. Still putting together the elements of the service, and I'll have some folks helping me, and I'm going to try to do kind of a candlelight thing so that everybody who participates has a candle with them while we're on Zoom. But anyway, more to come about that. That's just kind of the schedule going ahead. Everybody here is ready. I hope you're ready. We brought back the Cistercian monks today for their chants, and they're in full throat. And we've got our apple harvest candle. Wonderful scent. And we got promoted to the big leagues today for our tea. That is a big league cup of tea. That's the Earl Grey. This is the Bigelow version of Earl Grey with a little bit of milk. If you haven't had Earl Grey with milk, and maybe you think you don't like tea, you know, Earl Grey is just a great flavor. It's kind of the penultimate tea, right? Globally, the old Earl Grey. I think it's the Queen's preference, too, if that matters to you. Well, Michael Casey's ready, too. And he's got a devotion for us today from his book, Balaam's Donkey. The devotion is called Military Service. But it's not so much about military service as it is about a quote from the book of Job that says life is like military service. And then it goes on from there. Meaning what? It's tough. There's suffering and pain involved. There's hardship. So how do we get through all that and find the joy of God, the Spirit of Christ? And we're going to hear a little bit about that. Then we've got a great poem today to kind of even us out. You know, this might get a little bit deep, this devotion, but we're going to bring in Mary Oliver and just one of her nature poems. You know, you've heard those, I think, from at this point, which just kind of settles the soul and gets us back grounded into our day. So we got that coming. Amen. Here it is. Military service. Michael Casey says this. The text of Job chapter 7 verse 1 has been much quoted through the centuries. Here's what it says. Is not human life on earth a military service? The noun has been translated in various ways, but the principal idea seems to be that our life is not a honeymoon. Sorry, you already know that. He says it doesn't take much experience to come to the conclusion that mortal life is marked by toil, servitude, emptiness, misery, disease, and death. Not all the time, of course, but even in our happiest moments, we have no certainty that the grim reaper is not lurking behind the next corner. To those of us who have been brainwashed by the happy face philosophy promoted especially by advertising, this is very disturbing. To some extent, we believe that we are entitled to be happy. And if we are not, somebody else is to blame. The book of Job reminds us that suffering is a universal component of human existence. The fact that we would prefer to be otherwise is not a valid reason for disputing the truth of the assertion. In a consumer society, the appetite for acquisition knows no limits. No matter what we have, we want more of it, or something else. That quote, "After you get what you want, you don't want it." On this basis, it would seem that those who are truly content with a little will be content most of the time. Did you hear that? Those who are truly content with a little will be content most of the time. Those who are not, well, they'll be always unsatisfied. Jesus seems to concur with Job when he says, quote, "In the world you will have distress," unquote. But then he adds, quote, "But be of good heart. I have overcome the world," unquote. Wow. How often do we let ourselves fall into that truth, that our life will have distress, but Jesus has overcome the world? Have you allowed that to become a reality in your heart, to be a truth for your life? Jesus has overcome the world. So come to Jesus. Michael Casey goes on, "Because the complex consumerist system in which we live can never deliver on its promises of happiness, we are compelled to look elsewhere. This means negating the claims that the world tries to impose on us. It means taking our principal point of reference from somewhere else other than the world. By what means is this accomplished? This is our victory over the world, our faith. Our faith is our victory over the world." Faith is the word we use to describe our connection to the spiritual world, with God, with the person of the risen Lord. When this relationship goes strong within us, we are in a position to disencumber ourselves from the tentacles of commercial and political influences. One more time, because it's such a fun sentence, and it's so true. When this relationship grows strong, that is our relationship of faith to the Lord, when this relationship goes strong within us, it's an inside job, within us, we are in a position to disencumber ourselves from the tentacles of commercial and political influences. Faith is our source of strength to do and to endure. It is a counterweight to all the loud voices seeking to exploit us. Faith is a force for our freedom. Wow, got a little hopped up there. That was some good stuff. Let me take a sip here. Oh, that Earl Grey's good. Thank you, Earl. I want you to listen to this poem. We'll sing it. I could sing it. And don't tempt me. I'll recite it a couple times. So just kind of relax. And let the words you just heard settle on your heart. Etch them, they say, on your heart. And just let them sit there. And now just become free in your faith. And hear how Mary Oliver describes life from the point of view of nature. This is called Clap's Pond. Claps Pond. 3 miles through the woods, Claps Pond sprawls stone gray among oaks and pines. The late winter fields where a pheasant blazes up, lifting his yellow legs under bronze feathers, opening bronze wings, and one doe dimpling the ground as she touches its dampness sharply, flares out of the brush and gallops away. By evening, rain. It pours down from the black clouds, lashes over the roof. The last acorns spray over the porch. I toss one, then 2 more logs on the fire. How sometimes everything closes up. A painted fan, landscapes, and moments flowing together until the sense of distance, say between Claps Pond and me, vanishes. Edges slide together like the feathers of a wing. Everything touches everything. Later, lying half asleep under the blankets, I watch while the doe, glittering with rain, steps under the wet slabs of the pines, stretches her long neck down to drink from the pond 3 miles away. Claps Pond by Mary Oliver. 3 miles through the woods, Claps Pond sprawls stone gray among oaks and pines. The late winter fields where a pheasant blazes up, lifting his yellow legs under bronze feathers, opening bronze wings. And one doe, dimpling the ground as she touches its dampness sharply, flares out of the brush and gallops away. By evening, rain. It pours down from the black clouds, lashes over the roof. The last acorns spray over the porch. I toss one, then 2 more log on the fire. How sometimes everything closes up. A painted fan, landscapes, and moments flowing together until the sense of distance, say between Claps Pond and me, vanishes. Edges slide together like the feathers of a wing. Everything touches everything. Later, lying half asleep under the blankets, I watch while the doe, glittering with rain, steps under the wet slabs of the pines, stretches her long neck down to drink from the pond 3 miles away. Let us pray. Loving Father, amid all the troubles and uncertainties of life, it is you who are our refuge and strength. Confirm us in faith so that we walk with joy on the road your Son has shown us, and so find our way to the happiness of eternal life. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our King. Amen.